It's Sunday, October 25th, 2015. It's about 5 p.m. I'm out here in the desert, California, doing a couple of hours of walking here. What is there to report? Last couple of days, the sky's been blanketed. Just blanketed. It was clear skies this morning, or fairly clear, and then came all the airplanes. Probably 50 to 100 passes, I don't know. I wasn't out there most of the time. The air did not even smell good this morning. It was cloying, it was evil. I went back inside. Did not even want to set foot outside today. But for various reasons, it had been 4 days, 5 days since my last hike, getting some repair work done on my car, body work. I hit a jackrabbit, which required me, or my replacing a bumper, front bumper, not cheap. In any event, just very, very frustrated. And as I'm reading, there have been some extraordinary posts and comments at Dane Wigginton's geoengineering.org website. The frustration there is extraordinary. The frustration that is expressed. The media, the movie industry, the news, so-called news, actually infotainment, disinfo, and our leadership, our representatives are all controlled. And real truth is hard to come by. And this is a global program, and the effort to maintain silence on this subject of filling the sky with substances that are ending life as we know it. This free-form aluminum, and barium, and arsenic, and whatever else we're finding in our blood samples, hair samples, is severely damaging to all of our fundamental life processes. And you combine that with my exposure to EMF, I just get all numbed out. I've been having a hard time thinking. Hard time thinking. But, yeah, there's people who want to mount a violent resistance, and there's a place for that. But how to, what do you attack? It's such a large beast. Where do you hit it? And then with their snooping activities on everybody, they have a lot of people compromised one way or the other, through the forceful planting of things on their computers to, I don't know, but it just seems like there's a vast conspiracy. And Well, let me just bring up some of these data points that make me so despondent, really. One, I forget the guy's name. He was a custodian, a maintenance guy at the World Trade Center. And he was there in the bottom when the planes hit and helped people escape. Had, you know, before the plane hit, he was bringing people out from the basement level. There's several levels deep with their flesh burned off and all sorts of things. And he was an extraordinary witness to the fact that bombs were pre-planted. And you know what happened to him? He was made a hero. And then, because he kept on speaking out on the official Washington's story about what happened not being the truth, omitting vital details, because of that, he was blackballed and became homeless. I think became homeless, that's what I heard. And couldn't find work again. There are people who have worked for different government agencies who have tried to be whistleblowers and have been locked up, lost their pensions, lost their pay, and they're just trying to reveal government corruption. And there's supposed to be a clear path to do that, but no. More and more people are being punished under the guise of national security. And I truly believe that there are people in my family who are in its employ. You know, the employ of the Department of Homeland Security or something like that. But I hear, when I hear Dane Wigington talk about his only brother and his own mother effectively disowning him because of his views, it's extremely disheartening, and it speaks to my own condition greatly. But it saddens me that people are so attached to the lie, the fairy tale, giving their trust and confidence to an enterprise wholly unfit to receive it, despite many warnings and mountains of evidence that what they're doing is wrong, that they should be more suspicious, more critical. You know, people are simply not exercising good judgment. And they're cowards. And they're dumb. But I'm not a coward, and I'm not dumb, and I still find this daunting. Of course, I'm being flayed alive every day. My consciousness eviscerated. I can't do a goddamn thing. Can't get excited, can't think hard for any length of time. Without me being blown out. My nervous system just fried, and I have to lie down. I'm lying down, I'm not using my brain creatively or effectively 90%, 95% of my waking moments. Just is too, it's too painful. And to cohere. recent article that I read at Geoengineering Watch was about a whole new national security, total secrecy gag order placed over the National Weather Service and the National NOAA, whatever it stands for, National Ocean and Atmospheric, and then one other one on transportation. But it, you've got the employees now that can't even, and there's no provision for whistleblowing in these gag orders. It's so blatant and out of control. But, you know, I'm suspicious of people in my family and disappointed. And I saw that today, I was watching a little segment that Alex Jones had produced. And, you know, he did a skit with a couple of his employees on cashless, you know, how using cash makes you a terrorist, as they do want to go to a cashless, completely tracked transaction system. And and then another piece he did of, I guess it's called guerrilla journalism, because you know, shock journalism, where he takes his cameraman and goes into a Google's corporate offices in Austin. And though some good may come of that, I really felt that Alex was, it was beneath him. Because who is he interacting with, you know? Some young, handsome idiot working the front desk, you know, giving a sort of a multicultural, intelligent, healthy, kind of arrogant, techno-savvy, whatever he is. And then shortly after that encounter, you know, the mop-up team of the flappers, the obfuscators who are employed to, you know, by Google to manage public perceptions. And, you know, Alex, of course, is, you know, asked to turn off his cameras. They're not allowed to film in there. Meanwhile, Google Chrome and other Google products, they can turn on our computer's cameras and microphones at will. And Google tracks all of our behavior and web searches in perpetuity, you know, on the web. And sells our data and gives it to the government or does whatever it does, but it's a constant invasion of privacy. And there's even a large plaque in that Google facility indicating that everything that occurs on those premises is being filmed and recorded. So the point really is, you know, Alex was making is, okay, we've got the watchers, we get that. All the little people are being managed and groomed and cataloged and recorded. Meanwhile, who is watching the watchers? And that's, they're not accountable to anybody, because it's all national security, which is a loophole for corruption and evil, wrongdoing, and so forth. But why I found it to be insufficiently illuminating is Alex did not hit Google where it hurts. And Alex is at a point in his career, let's say he's got 5 million listeners, you know, an audience of 5 million, maybe more, I don't know, but it's substantial. And he is a prominent spokesperson for the Patriot Movement, the Liberty Movement, the anti-globalism movement. But many people question his rise to stardom and his financial well-being. You know, he does, I looked at some divorce papers of his online, or references to it, and apparently he was worth $8 million. His wife got $4 million, their million-dollar house she got to keep. She gets $40,000 a month or so for the next 3 or 4 years as settlement because of his alleged affair with, I don't know, one of his news people, a nice-looking lady. Leanne McAdoo, which may or may not be true, but his platform could be used for so much more. And really, what I found, because I do see a lack of sincerity in him, I just do. You know, he's controlled opposition, I think. And if even if he's not, he is so fatally flawed that I don't know. That's why I'm not listening to much of his radio show. I'm tired of his grandstanding. I just watch the nightly news. But he controls that content, even if I don't have to see or hear him much. But what am I getting at here? What we need right now, and Dane Wigington is certainly among them, and then Catherine Austin Fitz as well, in a different way. But we need people to be building community and to be creating linkages in the activist community. And Alex should have on his show, should be much more promoting of activists. Activist enterprises, because there are so many specialist organizations out there going after certain parts of the beast system, and they all need our help. And too much of what Alex does in becomes a spectator sport. It becomes not so much energizing, but, you know, habituating and mesmerizing, and I don't know. It just, it doesn't lead to action that's going to call these overflights of jets 360 days a year, filling our skies with poison, killing off the biosphere. It's not challenging them. And we need that. And so I would, rather than featuring, you know, an adolescent effort on Alex's part of, you know, of storming into a Google office and sticking his microphone in the face of some idiot that is responsible for nothing, it is not even a flea on the back of a lion. You know, it is nothing perceptible. I guess I shouldn't dismiss it that much. There, you know, there'll be some people who are energized by this journalistic approach, but you know, we need legal actions. We need recall elections, and this is slower stuff. These are topics that are not as sexy or exciting, not as polarizing, and his ratings would probably drop. But you know, we need a focus on the minute detail of how some, you know, jury nullification is going, or how a state or states have decided to nullify some federal laws or tax codes, claiming that they're sovereign and that it's an overreach on the part of the federal government, that the federal government is there to serve the states, not the other way around. And I suppose you can get lost in detail on some of these things, but there is not enough being done in terms of activism. But Alex has said, you know, you just got to choose your area of advocacy and just go into it. I think he said that. And I do think he's right. Mine has been religion and EMF, electromagnetic field, and spirituality. But I guess I'm just crying out in the wilderness most times. And my website is ranked like 13 million or so, and it should be much higher than that. But it's not. And I think it's directly related to Google's intention and ability to silence critical voices. It could also be partly due to my having content at my site that I've plagiarized. I have reposted some articles and made for download certain movies or video content that I don't own, that I don't have the copyright for. But I suppose they just, you know, they've decided to, you know, banish me. I have no idea how much of the traffic I get, which is minimal, is real. You know, I do see evidence of web searches or this or that, but the stats software, whatever comes with this site or this hosting service, is pathetic. I might just get 4 or 5 keywords returned to me, even though it seems to reflect a few hundred web searches a day that turn up content from my website. Pause there to douse my head with water, get a drink, and take off my jacket and hang my hat on the back of my backpack. Yeah, this is supposed to be a sermon, and sermons are supposed to be energizing. Give someone a sense of hope. Something to work for, something that's achievable that may make their lives, the lives of those they love, the lives of their fellow people, men and women, boys and girls, better in some way. And yeah, I'm looking at, from 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. until after 5, we had solid fake cloud cover. And now it's starting to part. And what I see above this one section is another line. As I was hiking through here 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, I heard air traffic above me. And I think I hear another one right now. They like to fly very close to the surface when there's solid cloud cover. If you don't have control over the air you breathe, I mean, it's kind of checkmate, isn't it? The arguments over legalizing abortion, legalizing gay marriage, whether or not to put economic sanctions on country A or country B, whether or not a certain dissident was put in prison in a particular country, all of that is meaningless by comparison. I do have a job that, for the most part, I look forward to. I don't like the fact that for different cellular carriers, there's 4 or maximal bars in terms of radiation strength at the site. I get perpetual headaches there. It's terrorizing me there. But the emotional context, the students and the staff are, for the most part, extremely supportive and kind, and I would say loving towards me. I have aides and students who have crushes on me. And you know what? And I'm kind to all of these people. I have a great sense of humor, and I don't know if it doubt that it comes across here. Taking myself way too seriously with this, but what I mean is there's my heart, my emotions are nourished at work, and I'm busy all day long, and it's definitely a situation that I'm needed in. It's good work. And working with these special needs kids. The group I've got this year is mostly non-ambulatory, mostly dependent on others for feeding and toileting. So it's a patient, nourishing work. We're busy. I mean, it's a very, very busy operation I run, and there's no rest for the dead around me. But what am I hoping for? Well, for me at least, I'm hoping to last long enough to be able to live in an environment with reduced EMF and work in an environment with reduced EMF, neither of which are the case right now. There's some locations in the high desert that I've scouted out, places to work. Got some acreage in another location with some good access to hikes that are free, or at least portions of them are free of line of sight transmissions, which is rare around these days. I feel great there. I have to get the right job. Hasn't happened yet, but so for me, and as has been the case since 95, so 20 years ago, it's been my principal preoccupation to find somewhere to live and work where I feel comfortable. And then when I'm feeling comfortable, do what I can in the self-actualization department. What that means for different people varies. Could be writing a book, could be attaining greater, deeper levels of health and feelings of well-being. Could be more time and energy available to having a relationship, raising a family. It could be any of those things. We all need to be in a place where we feel good, where we have health, where we have emotional, physical, and intellectual freedom to the greatest extent possible. So that's goal. That's something that keeps me going. And then the other is continuing to promote my point of view in regards to electromagnetic sensitivity and the spiritual path, and the clear and present danger that this aerosol spraying presents, because it is just off the charts, out of control, bad news at this time. And how do I do that? Well, I'd like to say I have a website that reaches hundreds or thousands of people. I don't know. I don't think that that's the case. I think my presence on the web is severely curtailed, limited, which is a shame. And then taking what money I do have once in a while and sending $100 here and there to groups that are either advocating an end to climate engineering or speaking truth about vaccines or the alternative press in general, or these false flag, we call it Homeland Security capstone events, like the Sandy Hook fake non-event. It's just an engineered social control exercise to damage people's perceptions of guns, and to see how wicked and malleable people can be. is that it took a lot of people to be compromised in that operation. Crisis actors, all sorts of folks, in order for that to be pulled off. So I sent some money to the guy, one of the guys fighting to expose that. He had a hearing just on, you know, I think one of the main points was, how in the fuck did, you know, were 40 porta potties staged there at that site within like an hour of the shooting? I mean, this stuff was ordered days ahead of time. And they won't release any of the records regarding the ordering of the porta potties. You know, because it would damage national security. I mean, it's just, you know, just chip away at it, you know? It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. And we have to claim, we have to, you know, in my workplace, I am definitely a voice of reason and challenge to corruption and evil and all that stuff. You know, whenever I have an opportunity to comment upon something wicked, I am doing it. I'm calling it out. If it's my boss or if it's who's a lousy boss, or if it's some broader concern, you know, I'm touching on it. I'm dealing with it. I'm not going to shirk. I'm not going to avoid it. So, yeah, I'm looking. So, in my own life, I'm looking forward to being in a place where I can be more full of health, have more time, and for myself, for my creative projects, and build on my property eventually. And then hopefully be in a place where, you know, I've had some opportunities for relationships where I am right now, and I, you know, this has been my argument for some time though, but I just have not felt like I've been in a place where I wanted one. I mean, I craved one, I just didn't think I was in a place for one. Clouds. Yeah, the sun now is shining below the layer, this flat stringy mess, and there's this cotton candy effect, you know, hanging low, that's just pieces falling out of it, the uniform cloud cover, and it's lighting up that as pink. My mother would point to it as being beautiful, but I see it as toxic. So that's it for now. This is definitely not an inspirational speech. I'm dragging today, but it's my hope that, and you know, things will get better for all of us, but some dark times right now, and I expect them to get quite a bit darker still before they improve. Over and out.